Imagine earning continuing education credits while doing exactly what you're doing right now. Well, you can. Gable Media has revolutionized the way you earn your continuing education credits with a groundbreaking approach. Forget running around town and scouring the internet for credit-worthy courses. Fulfill your CE requirements effortlessly by listening to engaging podcasts just like the one you're listening to now. Our podcasts are designed to educate, entertain, and inspire, all in a user-friendly environment. But wait, there's more. Architects, Gable Media is also approved as an AIA Continuing Education Services provider. Upon completion, we handle everything, from reporting your hours directly to the AIA to storing your certificates in your personal Gable Media profile for your self-reporting needs. So follow the link in the show notes and start earning your credits in the most innovative and entertaining way possible with Gable Media.
My name is Mark R. LePage, and you are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, where each week I speak with inspiring, passionate people who share their knowledge and expertise all to help you build a better business as a small firm entrepreneur architect. This week on the podcast, I'm joined by Sam DiBiase, CPA and founder of Archi CPA, a Cincinnati-based firm dedicated to helping architecture practices thrive. Sam's mission is to empower small firm architects with the financial clarity and confidence they need to grow sustainably. Through Archi CPA, he partners with design professionals to simplify their finances, improve profitability, and build resilient businesses. Today, we'll explore how architects can take control of their numbers and make smarter decisions using technology for long-term success. Sam DiBiase, welcome to Entree Architect Podcast.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for the warm welcome. Very excited to be here today. I have been a long time listener and it's my first time tuning in myself. So yeah, been looking forward to this conversation. Thanks so much.
All right. I'm looking forward to this. This is a conversation that lots of architects need to hear. We're going to talk about tools and technology, primarily around financial management, accounting, talking about numbers and data, but how to make it simple and easy and be able to use it to benefit your business. Before we jump into that conversation, I want to know more about you, Sam. I want you to share your origin story. So when did you discover your passion for what you do and who or what inspired you to get started?
Yeah, that's a great question, Mark. So really diving back into kind of the origin of my career, I started working at a tax accounting firm or a large regional accounting firm in their tax department. Stayed on there for a couple of years, just really learning the ins and outs of tax law and how it pertains to small and medium and even large size businesses.
What inspired you to get into accounting in the first place?
You know, that is a great question. I remember back in college that, you know, I was in the business school, but I was undecided. You know, my dad is a banker, so he's in financial services industry. So grew up seeing that, and you know, he was able to provide for myself and our family, right, growing up. So it seemed like a good career path. I think that's most accountants, right? It's like, I just want a stable and steady career.
Sure. Yeah.
So I think that is the draw. But then I remember being in a business school at Miami University, which is here in Ohio, undecided within the business school. And someone told me that accounting, believe it or not, is the quickest path to entrepreneurship because everyone needs a CPA or a bookkeeper or a tax return, right? And there's plenty of small firm accounting firms just providing that service. So when I heard that, I said, okay, well then I envision or, you know, maybe fantasize about becoming a business owner one day. I think that'd be really cool. So chose accounting as my major, and it happened. I also happened to be good at it or have a knack for it. So I got a master's degree, a bachelor's and a master's degree in accounting, which then led me to that tax firm, like I mentioned, a large regional firm in the Cincinnati area. And you know what? Tax was fine. I learned a lot, but I didn't want my entire career to just be focused on tax work.
Yeah.
So I actually pivoted to consulting large scale ERP system implementations.
What does that mean, ERP?
Yeah. ERP stands for Enterprise Resource Planning.
So big companies.
Large companies. Yeah. Yeah. Typical clients, 500, hundreds of millions through billions of dollars in revenue, hundreds, thousands of employees. And yeah, so pivoted into ERP implementation consulting, focused specifically on Oracle. So I think most people are aware of Oracle. It's the largest business. They do so much. It's so big. But as far as business applications goes, I think it's now the leader, number one company as far as business apps go. I think it just overtook SAP. So from tax into this ERP consulting work, working with really large companies, really, it wasn't just accounting, right? I mean, you think of ERP implementation, you're saying to yourself, maybe how is this accountant doing this? Well, I'd say it's really where technology and accounting and finance intertwine. So I really kind of got some IT or technical chops along the way while working in consulting and doing these large scale projects. A lot of the work is integration based, right? Other people have heard of maybe Salesforce or Workday. These are big industry enterprise apps. Well, Workday needs to talk to Oracle and Salesforce needs to talk to Oracle and your expense management platform needs to talk to Oracle and your many, many bank accounts need to talk to Oracle because the ERP system houses so much data and data flowing in from all different systems. Ultimately, it has to get accounted for. Oracle, I focused on the financial modules of Oracle. So your general ledger, accounts payable, accounts receivable, cash management, I could go on and on as complex as and wide scale as those systems are. So I'd worked with the accounting and finance teams at those large companies to ensure that this software was getting the intended results, right? Does the accounting look right? You know, I was building out reports from scratch out of these systems so that these companies could, you know, get insights into how the business was performing. And yeah, I think that gives a good overview to folks to understand, you know, ERP consulting and maybe why it's important.
So how did you get from ERP consulting, working with huge companies, to wanting to work with small business and then specifically architects, which is what you're doing? How did you get there?
Yeah. So a little burnout working with the big, large companies.
I could understand that. That would happen to me on the first day.
Yeah, right. Those projects start to wear you down a little bit. But I still enjoyed the work, but it really made me sit down and, you know, ask myself, I'm seeing how these big, huge corporations that everyone would probably think, oh, right, like they probably have a great accounting and finance function and everything works so seamlessly and they're able to make these decisions like so easily. It's like, I can tell you firsthand that that's not the case, right? So I'm sitting there thinking, if these companies of this size and magnitude are having these challenges and seeing that it's so challenging to get their systems working for them or being able to extract insights from their business operations, then there's no way the small guys are able to do it, right?
Right.
These huge projects for big companies, it's millions of dollars in investment to even get this stuff off the ground, let alone get it to where you really feel like it's working for you. The software and the system and the process and the people are all effective. So yeah, that's when I kind of sat down. I said, hey, I've done tax. I know that. I done big, large general ledger accounting, which I know small firms, right? Think bookkeeping. Well, bookkeeping at a big, large scale company is just called accounting, right? It's the same thing, right? It's just processing transactions through to the general ledger and then, you know, ramp it up all on steroids. And that's what a big company has to do. So again, thinking back, the epiphany, you know, kind of comes to me. Well, I can just do this for a lot of small companies and be there you know, accounting slash IT slash, you know, HR, as I've worked with, you know, these HR systems before.
Right.
And really serve a role that I think could provide an immense amount of value to small firms. You know, everything from tax prep and planning through the accounting day-to-day, the system setup and extracting business insights. So that's kind of how I made the turn in my mind to go from large scale to smaller scale.
Did you always know that you wanted to start your own business? Earlier on when you were talking about being in school and accounting, you said accounting was the fastest way to entrepreneurship. And so somewhere way back, there was something that put into your head that you wanted to have your own business, like many architects, right? Many architects, they go into architecture school with the intent of someday starting their own firm, which is who we're talking to, thousands of small firm architect business owners. Did you have that sort of idea all along, even working through the big companies, that someday I want to have my own company doing something in terms of an entrepreneurship track?
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. That's what I thought at that time, right? You know, you don't know much when you're 19 years old, right? You learn just
right
as you go through your career. Yeah, it was always in the back of my mind ever since that moment where I was told accounting was the quickest way to entrepreneurship. I'm thinking, all right, how do I accumulate the skills to then start that?
Right.
Yeah. So with each step, I was constantly thinking, how can I turn this into my own business? How can I be an entrepreneur? Yeah.
So working for big firms leads to burnout. Like, I can't do this anymore. It's time. Was there a specific moment that you remember that I can't do this anymore? I'm launching my own company. Or did it sort of gradually develop?
It gradually developed. I think a lot of architecture firm owners can relate to this as well. And that's a whole other conversation. I think there's so many parallels from accounting to architecture.
Yeah, exactly.
But it started moonlighting, right? I wasn't willing to give away my cushy job.
Many of us can relate to that.
Paid well.
Starting our firms.
Yeah.
Working with other people at first.
Yeah. I was also fortunate to be remote in the role, right? Working in IT, you know, definitely allows for that, especially in these cloud-based systems I was consulting upon. So, you know, that helps in moonlighting.
What led you to architects? So you decide, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to work on building my own company. I'll first start with moonlighting like many architects do, but eventually you focus on architects and start a company called Archie CPA. You know, how did you lead yourself to architects? Because it doesn't sound like there's architecture in your background. What led you to architects and starting a company specifically for architects?
I live in Cincinnati, Ohio. So it's an older town. You know, it's right on the Ohio River, which it's been around a long time. So I think there's a lot of cool architecture, and the city's done a great job of keeping these historical buildings in the area. And then on top of that, I live in this quaint town, right? It's really in the city, called Mount Adams. It's up on this hill that overlooks the city. And same story, all this history here, you know, there's an art museum up here. And I'm always in awe of all these buildings. And I think, hey, like, there are people that are designing this stuff. Like, there's a whole industry devoted to this. Like, these architects that designed these buildings went on and had career. And like, I think it's such a cool profession. Like, if I were to go back, I would want to consider architecture, right? If I have a career renaissance one day, I do what I want, I accomplish what I want in accounting, I think I'd love the design, cool stuff, cool buildings. So that was, you know, part of it, right? I think I really just had an eye.
Yeah. You know, Sam, that's not an uncommon experience for service providers, you know, allies serving architects, that somewhere along the line, they were inspired by architecture and realized that there was a group of people who were designing architecture and just wanted to be part of that world. It's not uncommon. I've talked to many, many service providers that are serving architects that have similar stories.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, definitely the main reason that it, you know, first came to my head. The business was called Revamp CPA. We were any business, any tax return, right? And then I eventually niched down to Archie CPA. I actually started working with some home remodelers, and then they led me to some architects, and I really enjoyed working with the architects as well that I have had and have as clients. And then the more you learn about the industry, right, there's so many small to medium-sized architecture firms.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm thinking to myself, there's a big market. There's a large addressable market. And architects are, from my experience, nice, friendly, well-educated people, right? There's a lot that goes into being a licensed architect. I mean, many years of school and exams, right? So the only thing they may be missing is the financial acumen that, you know, from my experience, I can bring to the table.
Right.
And, you know, maybe help, you know, flip some switches for them, right? Architects are amazing designers, and I want architects to keep doing amazing design work. I don't think they should be bogged down checking their finances or setting up their payroll a certain way that's compliant for X, Y, and Z reasons. And yeah, so that's the long-winded answer there.
Yeah, I agree with you. Architects are nice people. They are well-educated. It's a great community. I would say that architects in the service providers world, we're a very close-knit community, especially entree architect community. Many of us connect every day online and help one another grow and succeed. And so I agree with you. It's a great opportunity for you as a provider to focus specifically on our community. What makes ArchiCPA different other than focusing specifically on architects? Are you using any sort of tools or technology that can help architects get to spend more time on the architecture and less on the business side?
Yeah, totally. Relating back to my experiences that I've shared, right? I've been just focused on the newest and latest technologies in business management, right? So I want to be a tech-driven firm. And that's twofold. One, the experience that I provide to my clients, I want it to be as seamless as possible. I use software within my own business to make that happen, right? Some accounting-specific practice management softwares where I've built out, you know, workflows and, again, just making it as easy to work with me as possible. Because, you know, that can be a pain too, a friction point. You know, architects are in client services, right? Like, you want your client experience to be top-notch. That's how you keep good customers and have a good name for your business. So I'd say that's one aspect, is just trying to create the best client experience possible. And I'm leveraging technology to do that. And then second to that, you know, the staying on technology, it's about implementing apps, different softwares for architects. Those are daunting projects, you know, cutting over or implementing an accounting system that's tied to your bank account. And, you know, maybe you hire some people and now you want payroll integrated. And, you know, like I said earlier, all those systems need, well, they have the ability to, and they really should be talking to each other. But does the architect have the time to focus to make sure that that process is seamless? Maybe, but is their time better spent doing other things to drive their business further? Yeah, definitely. So that's where, you know, I kind of see myself come in and have the ability to implement those softwares. And, you know, specifically, there are practice management softwares for architecture firms. I've been, you know, working with one and have implemented it for a couple of my clients. It's called Monograph. So I've tried to and have become, you know, a subject matter expert in that software. And again, that software needs to integrate with QuickBooks Online. So those are two apps that if architects don't have them, then, you know, I'll make that nudge and at least say, hey, this stuff is there. This is what it can do. I think it would benefit you. And let me help you get there too.
Let's take a quick break to say thank you to our sponsors for their support of this episode. Gain lessons learned and credits earned with Arcademy, RCAT's continuing education program. Listen to popular episodes of the Detailed podcast and earn AIA-approved HSW credits. Yes, you heard that right, HSW credits for episodes of Detailed Podcast. Listen to an episode, check out the learning objectives, and use what you've learned while listening to take the course. The program is free, it's simple, and can be found at rcat.com under the Resources tab. Or just go to rcat.com/arcademy. That's ARCAT.com/ARCATEMY. That's rcat.com/arcademy. Please visit our sponsors today and thank them. Thank them for supporting you, the Entree Architect community. So one of the main benefits of working with ArcEase CPA is that we all know, as architects, we all know the tools that you're talking about, right? We know QuickBooks. Many of us are using QuickBooks online. Many of us, we pretty much all know Monograph. Many of us are using Monograph. Monograph has sponsored our show in the past. There's other software similar to Monograph, like BQE Core. There's Factor, who is actually a partner with Entree Architect that's also similar to Monograph. So you're taking tools like QuickBooks and Monograph and Factor, and you said payroll earlier. So companies like Gusto.
That's my go-to. Yeah, Gusto. Mm-hmm.
I'm a Gusto customer as well. Gusto has also sponsored our show in the past. So taking all of those tools and any other tools that help run the business side of it, right? Many of us are using those tools now, but I hear what you're saying, that there's more than just getting your payroll from Gusto and, you know, clicking the button that says approved, right? And doing your invoicing on QuickBooks and hoping that you get that invoice back and having it connect to Monograph or Factor or other tools, the integration of all those, right? You talked about earlier about the ERPs and in large firms, you're basically doing similar services for small firms, taking the tools that many of us are using, but maximizing them, making them most efficient, making them optimized, and talking to one another so these systems start to work in a much more integrated way. Is that right?
Yeah, that's totally right. I mean, that's part of the service offering, right, is maximizing and getting as much as you can out of the technologies that have already been designed for these firms. And clients that I have upgraded onto these softwares or implemented for them, you know, they weren't previously on them. So maybe an architecture firm is aware, but they haven't gone through that,
exactly,
that project because of X, Y, or Z, or because it's daunting, or like, how do I start?
That's exactly what happened, Sam.
Right. That's like, let me ease you into this. I'll hold your hand. We'll get through it together. Like, I've done it before. Yeah. So definitely, you know, a shoulder to lean on when going through these types of projects. But I don't want to. That's not my only service offering, right? I'd say that's what separates me.
Yeah.
Separates, you know, what makes ArcEase CPA great. But in addition to that, I'm still providing the old school accounting service.
Right. What does a workflow look like when somebody signs up with you? What is the typical process that you take them through?
That's a great question. So, you know, when I get a qualified lead, right, through however that may come about, someone emails me, you know, finds my website, finds us on Instagram, resonates with one of our posts, hopefully hears this podcast and reaches out, I will add them in our practice management system. Hopefully there's already been like at least an email or back and forth there saying, hey, like, all right. So I add them in the practice management system. They'll fill out a survey telling me about their current state of their firm, kind of current numbers, what they'd like to be in 3 or 5 years, just so I get a sense, a better sense of the firm. From there, you know, we'll have a sales call, just trying to, you know, get based on the information that was provided to me. I will recommend a certain level of service, right? So for example, if Mark just started his architecture firm 2 months ago and he's terrified of his tax return now that he's a single member LLC or a, you know, just an entrepreneur at this point, maybe he doesn't even know that, right? What kind of business do I need, right, moving forward? But for Mark in that scenario, I'd say, hey, you just need monthly or maybe even quarterly bookkeeping review. I can get you set up in QuickBooks Online and I'll do the tax service. And then, you know, hopefully Mark comes on board and starts working with ArcEase CPA. So that's the lowest bare minimum level.
Right.
that I'd offer, right? But I want to meet people where they are today and get them where they want to be in 5 years. So ideally, Mark is an amazing architect. He's featured in all these magazines and, you know, whatever else for his amazing work around the city. He's got more work than he knows what to do with. He wants to hire 1, 2, 3 employees now. So, okay, he needs payroll. He needs gusto. Mark says, Sam, you're my trusted advisor. What do I do now? All right, we'll get you on payroll. Hey, you're a business owner now. You're no longer just an architect that's, you know, working a job. You know, you need to think differently. Like, let's get you in practice management software, like something like Monograph, so that we can get more valuable insights out of your business, right? Maybe you're not pricing enough. Maybe your team isn't utilized enough, doesn't have high enough utilization rate based on, you know, X, Y, or Z factors, right? So okay, fine. All right, we get Mark to that point. And now, you know, it keeps snowballing, right? He's 10, he's 15 employees. At some point, typically a firm, from what I've seen, at 3, 4 employees, they might hire a full-time admin or, you know, maybe some combination of an admin and like a operations or finance, you know, someone to serve in that role full-time. Well, hey, I'll give you the level of service that you need, and you don't need to hire a full-time employee that is also not a billable resource. So, all right, we're thinking like a business owner now. Any money that you spend that's not on a billable resource is coming out of the owner's pocket, right? So if you have to hire someone for $100,000 and plus benefits and whatever else, or pay RQCPA to do that fractional operations finance manager for $40,000. Well, what sounds better, you know, to Mark? And I've already been there through the whole cycle of his business, right? I'm his trusted advisor, and that's really the angle, right? I think you can see the vision now, the picture I'm trying to paint here.
Yes, for sure.
Whether you're the solo guy or you've got a firm of 20 employees, I, you know, think I have services that can help out, provide a lot of value.
What are some mistakes architects make before signing on somebody like you?
I think it's a long list, but I'll try to keep
it. Top two.
Yeah. I mean, even just, I've seen some messy, quick, just thinking that they can do it all, right? Like, I'm not going to say that bookkeeping is rocket science. I'm not going to say that a tax return is rocket science when you're, you know, a one-person shop, but you can definitely do it really wrong and you'll be confused and it'll be hard. And then like you've wasted time that you could have just hired out someone to do it and done it right from the start.
Yeah, and potentially leave a lot of money on the table for not doing your books properly. Maybe spend a lot more on taxes than you needed to because you didn't do your books right.
Right, totally. I think that's part, you know, that's probably the big thing is just trying to do it themselves for so long and it being wrong.
Yeah, let's talk about the cost of it because I think a lot of it, and not specifically, but just generally, mindset. I think many architects don't hire somebody because they're afraid they can't afford it, right? That they'd rather do it themselves because, you know, then they don't have to pay themselves. So what do you say to those people who are like, they should be working with somebody like you, but they feel like they can't afford the service?
Right. I think you touched on it. I mean, you know, it could be wrong. Like what they're doing could be wrong and it could be costing them money. So like, what's the cost of doing it wrong? Like what are you leaving on the table by doing it wrong from the start versus doing it right? Like I'm also selling peace of mind in a way, right?
Yeah.
I can assure you that it is right because that is what I do for a living.
And we have enough to stress us out. We don't need our books to stress us out too.
Right.
It'd be nice to sort of check that box and know it's done right.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then the second point to that is how much more time could you be spending in business development or billable hours that you're spending chasing something that you shouldn't be chasing from the start? I think those two things combined, you look at the solo fee for a person just starting out and say, you know what, you're right. That's fair. That's a fair price for the service and the value and the peace of mind that you're offering, and, you know, go on your merry way. And we're happily married forever. And Mark grows to be a 20-person firm, and he gets to do what he loves and is wealthy by the end of it. So that's the picture I'm trying to paint, right? End state in a perfect world.
Yeah. I think there are lots of architects right now shaking their heads. Yes, I wish I could be there. I wish I don't need to deal with that stuff that I don't like and spend more time on the things I do like, you know, getting more projects, working on your designs, spending the time developing your business. It's an important step in an entrepreneur's business to take that first step, right? That acknowledgement that you as an entrepreneur should not be doing everything. There's a certain point where you need to decide to take action and delegate some of the steps that you are currently doing to someone else, either somebody on your team or somebody like you who can do it for them in an efficient, effective way.
Right.
What would you say is the one thing that a small firm architect can do today to build a better business for tomorrow?
You know, I always come back to, I'm trying to make this somewhat of a saying for ArchiCPA. It's what isn't measured can't be managed. So, I mean, that's kind of a culmination of everything I've talked about today, but just having that mindset of, I'm a business owner. I need to be acting like a business owner. I'm not just an architect, right? I no longer just work for, you know, this firm that I used to work for. I need to think like a business owner. I need to track business metrics like a business owner. I can't give away free work. So that's what I come back to, is what isn't measured can't be managed. And I'd say right away is, I think there's still people, still architects, small firm architects that are probably running off spreadsheets, like haven't even taken the time to invest in a QuickBooks Online. So I'd say if that's you, it's time to get with the times, right? Act like a business owner, focus on that. And you may not know what is possible or what it's capable. And if you have financial metrics that help you guide and run your business, like you could scale to be bigger if that's what you want. And like you could be making more doing what you love. And I want to help architects get there, but they need to help themselves too and take it seriously and have that mindset shift. So yeah, I'd say that having the business owner mindset and wanting to track financial metrics to guide the business.
What isn't measured can't be managed. I love it. His name is Sam DiBiase. The company is ArchiCPA. ArchiCPA.com is the website. And he's on Instagram at ArchiCPA. So go sign up and say hi. Sam, thank you. Thank you for coming by here, sharing a little bit of information about hiring someone like you who can help small firm architects be more successful, be more efficient, be more effective. You're also a member of Entre Architect Network as an allied member. So if you're a member of Entre Architect Network, reach out to Sam inside the network. He's there to help. And Sam, thanks for coming by here and sharing your knowledge at Entre Architect Podcast.
Hey, thanks so much, Mark. Been a big fan for a long time, and I was happy I could be on the pod. Yeah, thanks so much.
Great to have you here. If you liked this episode of Entre Architect Podcast, please share a link to this episode with a friend. Either just click the share button or highlight the URL and send the link to this episode with a friend, because that's how Entre Architect has grown to serve thousands more architects just like you. Throughout the 10 plus years of Entre Architect, that's how we've grown, architect to architect. So I would love for you to share this episode and all the episodes with one friend every week. We'd love that. And thank you to our sponsors for this episode. We don't have an episode if there's no sponsors. So thank you to our sponsors. Links to those sponsors, which you should go visit and click, and all the resources that we discussed today for this specific episode, they are all available at entrearchitect.com/podcast. Every episode that we've recorded is there, entrearchitect.com/podcast. Go click the links to the sponsors and say hello. Entre Architect is a member of the Gable Media Podcast Network. You should go visit that at gablemedia.com. That is the next evolution of interactive media and resources for the AEC community. you can now earn continuing education credits for listening to select episodes of this podcast, Entree Architect Podcast. Yes, AIA CEUs for listening to a podcast. It's there, and many other podcasts are there as well, and you can listen to all of them and get credit. Learn more about our program, Gable Members Program, at the gablemedia.com/members website. That's gablemedia.com/members. And if you are a small firm architect, join us today at Entree Architect Network. That is the worldwide organization for small firm entrepreneur architects. If you own your own architecture firm, you are an entrepreneur architect. You are an Entree Architect. With weekly live group business coaching, yep, we have business coaching there, monthly live business training with AIA CEUs, 2 a month, so 24 AIA credits per year, including 12 of those are HSWs. We have them in the membership. Business resources, all the resources you need to run your business, special session webinars, mastermind groups, and a thriving community of small firm architects just like you. Hundreds of architects are there waiting for you to join. So we provide the support and encouragement you need to succeed as a small firm architect. I know that you haven't been trained as a business person when you launched your firm. That's what we do. Come learn how to run a business at Entree Architect Network. And today you can go join right now for free for 30 days at this link, entrearchitect.com/30days. We'll give you free 30 days for membership. Go check it out at entrearchitect.com/30days, and I will see you there. Thank you for listening to this episode of Entree Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage, and I want you to remember 3 words: love, learn, share. Have a great day. Are you NCARB certified yet? Join the network of over 45,000 architects who have the NCARB certificate to expand your professional reach. By becoming NCARB certified, you are demonstrating that you've met the national standards for licensure, a qualification that can be an important factor for firms when hiring and promoting. Certificate holders have a streamlined path to apply for a reciprocal license in all 55 U.S. jurisdictions, as well as access to an extensive library of free continuing education courses. Learn more today at ncarb.org.